We're going to read God's word tonight, and the reading is taken from one of the minor prophets, the book of Amos, chapter 4, Joel and then Amos. The book of Amos, chapter 4. Give you time to find it, because it'll be worthwhile if you just keep your Bibles open as we later on would turn to this passage. Hear this word, ye kin of Bashan, that are in the mountains of Samaria, which oppress the poor and crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your prosperity with fish hooks. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palaces, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal multiply your transgressions, and bring your sacrifices every morning, and your tithes after 3 years, and offer your sacrifices with thanksgiving and leaven, and proclaim and publish a free will offering. For this is like you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I also have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One place was rained upon, and the place where it rained upon not withered. So 2 or 3 cities wandered onto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting of mildew, and when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, and the pomel worm devoured them, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you pestilence after the manner of Egypt, and your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camp to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as firebrands plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. For lo, he that formed the mountains, and createth the winds, and declareth unto man what his thoughts, maketh the morning and the darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is his name. And we know that the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his own. When our brother Desmond asked me to take this meeting, this one passage of scripture, which we read from tonight, I couldn't get away from it. Time and time again, I was drawn back to it. And I believe if I were to speak in some of the simple gospel messages, I would be out of the will of God. I believe this is the word that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this meeting tonight. It is not also partly ministry, and it's also partly gospel. But we trust that God will speak to our hearts through the word tonight. First of all, I want to look at the prophet himself and see what we can learn about the prophet. Then I want to look at to where God sent him and the state of the people that he found, and the many warnings God had already spoken them to them by. And finally, the final warning that God gave them. First thing we want to look at the prophet. What do we know about this man? And the first thing we learn about this man, he lived about 12 miles south of Jerusalem on the edge of the Judea Desert. That's where he lived. He would have been a well-known character around the district because of his occupation. This man had a threefold occupation. He was a herdsman. He was also a dresser of vines. And he was a layman, a prophet, a man that God took up out of the countryside and used for to bring his message to the people. Some of the things that we know about Amos. His prophecy was written some 760 years BC when the prophecy was written, to 755, it's in around that date that the prophecy was written. And God, this man would have been well known round about where he lived, because his job would have took him through much of the district of Tekoa and the surrounding countryside to seek pasture for either the sheep or the goats or the herds, whatever he was taking out to pasture. He also would have been known by going round the different settlements or the different vineyards where he lived, because his occupation was a dresser of vines. Not anybody can go and prune a vine. There's a special skill in it, and this man would have had those skills, and he would have been well known in the district. But this man, who lived in the edge of the Judea Desert, God called him and he sent him to what is known as the Northern Kingdom. Now at this time, the Kingdom of Israel was divided in two rival kingdoms. If you want to know how the kingdom was divided, you have to turn to 1 Kings chapter 12 and you read that Solomon's son is in control, and the children of Israel came to him asking that their burden that his father had put upon them might be made lighter. And he told them to come back in 3 days and he would give them their answer. And after 3 days he consulted with those that were round about him. The elderly men would say that it's not a bad thing that they asked of thee, and you would keep us the nation together. But he paid heed to the younger men. You read, if you want to look up 1 Kings chapter 12, at the start of the chapter, you'll find how that these men came to him after 3 days. And he listened not to the older men, but to the younger men. And with the result, he made the burden heavier. And with the result that Israel withdrew themselves from the, and said, what inheritance have we in David? And they made Jeroboam their king, and it became a rival kingdom to Judah and Benjamin. You had 10 tribes with Jeroboam, which was known as the Northern Kingdom, and you have the other 2 tribes with Solomon's son. That's how the kingdom was divided. And it's this situation is Amos sent to you. He goes to, it says here, hear this word, ye kin of Bashan, that dwell in the mountains of Samaria. That's to the people of Samaria. This is where Amos was sent. He was based at the religious base at Bethel. And it was there that he took up his message to the children of Israel. And he says here, ye kin of Bashan, that are in the mountains of Samaria, which oppress the poor and crush the needy, and say to their masters, bring and let us drink. You see, there were those in the land of Samaria, in the mountains of Samaria, and they were living in houses, and their very doors were carved with ivory, and they were like palaces. It's referred to them as their palaces as you go on down the chapter. And they were living lives of luxury at the expense of their poor brethren. And they were, says they crushed the needy and said to their masters, bring and let us drink. And God's seen what was going on, and he's seen the state of Israel at this time. And he says to them, the Lord God has sworn by his holiness. In other words, God was swearing by himself, and he could swear by no greater than himself. And he says, the Lord God has sworn by his holiness that the day shall come upon you that he'll take you away with hooks, and your prosperity with fish hooks. The Syrians, when they used to invade the land, this was one of their practices that they carried out. They actually hooked the people and pulled them along with fish hooks. One of the practices that Syria carried out. And it says here, the Lord God has sworn by his holiness that though the day shall come upon you that he shall take you away with hooks on your prosperity with fish hooks. Now here was a people living it up, and God had sent prophets previous to this to speak to these people, and they had shut their ears to the voice of God. Look at what he says down here in verse 3. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall be cast them into their palaces. Now, when it's referring to every cow, it's referring to the women here. And I know some of you women carry brave big handbags, and I don't want you walloping me as you go out the night. But that's what it's referring to here. It's referring to the women who were living these lives of luxury and forgetting the poor and crushing the poor that was working, and maybe their slaves. And he says here, and every cow shall go out at the, and ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall be cast them into their palaces. See, that palaces, them houses that the carvings of ivory on, the doors, and later on, it's discovered many of these relics was discovered, which were on these houses and are displayed in different places today. And here he says here, he takes a chant up against them again for what was going on. Listen what he says here. He starts to command them. He says, come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply your transgressions. Bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years, and offer sacrifices with thanksgiving and leaven, and proclaim and publish your freewill offering. For this is just like you. You see, what were they doing? What was the prophet getting at here? What is God trying to tell us here? You see, what was happening here in the northern kingdom? When Jeroboam first set up the kingdom, he made 2 calves of gold, and you'll find where he made them in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 28. He made these 2 carvings of gold calves, images, and he set one up where you find it, where he made them. You find it in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 28, and he says in verse 29, he says he put one in Bethel and the other at Dan. And it says in verse 30, and this thing became sin. You see, they were worshipping idols. They became idolatrous in their worship, and their worship was only a sham in the sight of God. And the reason Jeroboam had set these golden calves up, lest the people would go back to Jerusalem and hold the Passover there and return under Jeroboam, Solomon's son. But here he mocks them, and he says, yea, he says, offer your sacrifices with thanksgiving and leaven, and proclaim and publish a freewill offering. For this is just like ye, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. Then here is where God had, I would use the word, give five chastenings to this people that they might return. And I want you, this is what I want to get over here tonight. He give them five chastenings that they might return. Look at verse 6. I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places, and yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. You see what has taken place? They, Lord God, withheld the rain when the harvest needed it, and the harvest was ruined, and there was want of bread. He had given them, when it says he gave them cleanness of teeth and want of bread, in other words, he withheld the harvest from them. And with God doing that, the prophet here is pointing out that God done this that he might, that you might return unto me, saith the Lord. Now I would want you to note, five times God repeats, the word of God repeats these 10 words. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And when God repeats it twice, but when he repeats it five times, God wants you and I tonight to take heed to it. Because there's maybe someone here tonight, and in the past God has done things in your life, hoping that you will repent and return to him. And maybe up to this moment in time, you have resisted the strivings of the Spirit of God. And he's saying to you tonight, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. He said, he had withheld the bread from them. Then look at verse 7. That's one of the chastenings. Here again is a second one. He says, and also I have withholden the rain from you when there are yet 3 months to harvest. I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One place was rained upon, and the place where it rained upon not withered, and withered. So 2 or 3 cities went on to one city to drink water and were not satisfied. Yet, here's the words again, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I wonder tonight, has there been things happening in your life? And you know, I've often heard people say, why does this always happen to me? I have perhaps said it in my lifetime. I've heard it said in my own family. Why has this happened to us? And sometimes God permits things to happen in our lives that he might show us our need and a weakness to see our need of him. And here he says here, he's not only withheld the bread from them, but he withholding the water from them. They wandered from city to city, and still they weren't satisfied. And he says, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Then, if you go on down to verse 9, he says, I have smitten and with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, and the pomel worm devoured them, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. If there's only one thing I get over in this meeting tonight, and you go home with these words ringing in your ears, I will believe that have done God's will, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Here, the fruit harvest, which was very important to them, when the fruit was forming on the trees, when everything was just beginning to come into blossom and everything was just going to be right, either the mildew, he blasted with mildew, and he also the pomel worm devoured them. And he says, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. 3 times already, he gave them want of bread, he gave them want of water, their very fruit harvest was ruined. And here, on the 4th occasion, he says, I sent among you pestilence after the manner of Egypt, and your young men have I slain with the sword, and I have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camp to come up under your nostrils. And again, you have these words, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. What that simply means, there was those nations round about, he didn't give them rest. There were young men was getting slain, and the very stink of what was taking place came up on to their very nostrils. And he says, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And then again, verse 11, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as bronze plucked from the burning, and yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Dear friends, tonight in this meeting, maybe I'm talking to someone who's still outside of Christ here tonight, and things have been, God has been speaking to you in your life through different things that has been happening, maybe even sickness, maybe through the family, different things God has been speaking to you, and as yet up to this moment in time, you have shut your ears to the calls of God. Here, he said, you know what took place in Sodom and Gomorrah? You've only got to go to Genesis chapter 19. And you remember how God showed Lot and his family mercy. And he told them not to look back. And he, even the very angels, he dragged them out from the burning and they overthrew. And you remember how Lot's wife looked back because her heart was still and the things of this world in Sodom. And she became a pillar of salt. That's why it says in Luke's gospel, remember Lot's wife. And here are 4-5 times God had sent chastenings upon these people. And he says, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. You see, we're God's by creation. Each one, every one of us are God's by creation. But when man fell in the garden, we became separated from God through the fall of man. And you and I were tempted. We received the tint of the fall. And that's that sin that keeps us back from God. I remember hearing a story about a wee boy. The wee boy went to his daddy one day into the garage, and he said, Daddy, have you any spare wood? And he made a wee boat. It took him days and days to make it, but he made it. And it was his whole pride and joy. And where he lived, he didn't live far from the seaside. And he went down and he used to put it in the sea and have fun with it along the shore. One day, he heard bells ring and a fire began. A fire was taking place, and he left the boat and he went to see the fire. But when he returned, the boat was gone. It was lost. About a week or so later, where he lived, he was going through the town or village, and there in the shop window was his wee boat that he had made. And he went back home and he Read it, the money box. Do you ever read the money box? Get the, any of you wee boys and girls ever read the money box, get the knife and try to get the pennies and all out? Well, that's just what he did. And he went back into the shop and he bought the boat. But as he was coming out, he was heard to say these words: I made you, I lost you, but I bought you back. And that's what God wants to do for the sinner tonight. You're God's by creation, but because of the fall, you were lost. That's why the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Thank God, recently in this church, God has been saving those who were lost. And maybe you're here tonight, and up to this moment in time, you're still in nature's darkness. Still that sin in your life has never been dealt with. Well, God wants to save you tonight. He wants to give you life. That's why he came. He said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And then, because God had already brought these five chastenings upon the people, he said finally, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I have done all this. He says, prepare to meet thy God. A solemn word. Prepare to meet thy God. 30 years after Amos was there, the Syrians come up and took these people into captivity. And they were never heard of since. God's word might seem slow of grinding, God's wiles, but believe me, they grind firm. That's why it says, except you fall upon the stone and be broken, the stone will fall upon you and grind you to powder. And here he says, because I have done all this, prepare to meet thy God. Friends, tonight, we're still in what's known as God's day of grace. God's door of mercy is still open wide. And God is not willing, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and faith in him. And every time you hear the gospel, you have a responsibility of making a decision. Tonight you can be like the people who dwelt in the mountains of Bashan. God had spoken to them five times, he had laid chastenings upon them, and they shut their ears to the calls of God. And finally God said to them, because I have done all this, prepare to meet thy God. You see, there's no other name under heaven given among men by where we can be saved. It's the only name. He's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only door. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He's the only foundation, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. He's the only foundation. He's the only mediator between God and man tonight. And he's standing tonight, and he's given you the invitation to come and get right with him. But friends, the decision lies with you. Amos was a faithful servant. He came and he delivered God's message. They didn't pay heed to it, and they were taken into captivity. Let me tell you, this world that you and I live in, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, is ripening for the judgment of God. And what decisions you make in this life will determine your destiny, either for heaven or for hell. I don't like using that word. But friends, tonight, you're either on that way that leads to heaven, the narrow way. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there'll be that find it. But broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many go in thereat. I remember one of the last times I preached from this word was up in Crumlin. I remember a brother of this church asked me would I take the meeting stand in for him. And he had some other meeting booked, and I went up to stand in for him in Crumlin. And I preached this word, and I come out of that meeting so discouraged. Man, Satan gave me an awful time, and I just felt like giving everything up. I said, you're past it. Give it up. You're too old getting. And do you know, a fortnight later, I was standing in the door of that church there, and Mrs. Spence came in, and she says to me, there was a fella, Flanagan, was trying to get in touch with you. And she gave me a wee note that night that I was getting it so hard. A soul had got saved and crumbling. And you know, friends, tonight, if I can help you tonight to come to the Lord, I would only be too glad to stay behind here tonight and get down with you and open up the Word of God. Remember one night standing down there in the open air, me and Wesley. And man, we had been getting some rough stick down there. Man, we'd shouting at us out from the tops of the windows, coming out, get away there from us, we don't want you. They even sent the police on us. So they did. And I seen this fellow come on over this night. Oh, I said, here he comes again. And this fellow come over to me and he says to me, have you a word from God for me? A Roman Catholic lad. And I said, I have. And I quoted him John chapter 1 and verse 12, I think it is. For as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. Do you know, as many as will receive him tonight, he'll give you that power, not only to become a son of God, but to be numbered with the redeemed and the saints of God. I thank God I look back. You can laugh at me if you like, but I remember over 51 years ago at a place out at Auchnalack, I went up the stairs a sinner, and when I got to the top of the stairs, I became a saint, was numbered with the Church of God, the redeemed of the Lord. And I believe you can come into this place tonight a sinner, and you can go out a saint if you'll only but open up your heart and ask the Lord into your life. I notice my time is gone. And I would just plead with you tonight, if God has spoken to you and you would like a word with me after the meeting, though I have another meeting after this, I'll only be too glad to stop behind and speak to you.